I hope you still have energy for a somewhat exotic subject. Let's see. Right. Well, I'm going to talk about my two favorite programming languages. First of all, Fortran, and second of all, TickleTK. What you see here is a book I wrote in 2012. It was translated a year later in Russian even. It was quite unexpected that they asked me whether that was okay. And at some Friday evening, I got a package with two copies of that book in Russian. So it's basically a collection of a lot of articles I wrote over the years. And at some point, it was so there were so many articles, and I thought, well, let's make a book out of it. I first thought of doing it on my own as a self-publisher. But then I asked Michael Metcalf, and his name will appear later on as well, to write a foreword. And he suggested that I get in contact with Cambridge publishers, and well, this was the result. Over here you see for me, fascinating picture. It's actually a lot of circles. The centers are on this hyperbola, and they carve out a lemniscate. It's an ancient curve, a geometrical curve. You can find all kinds of information about it on the web. But it's just an example of what you can do with the canvas in TK. It's just a few lines of code, and you get this kind of beautiful pictures. At least I find them beautiful. That was introducing these two favorite programming languages. Let me tell you a bit about my history here. I learned Fortran at university. It was somewhere in the 80s. I used it a lot in my work. I still do, in fact. Because I got involved in the community, I also wrote a bunch of articles, and so that was the basis for this book. I'm still active in the Fortran Discourse group channel, and over the years I've produced a number of utilities, worked on libraries, etc. So you can find all kinds of stuff on the internet. TickleTK, that was a bit later. I got involved in that reading a book on testing. It's a famous book, Boris' book. I don't know whether anybody knows that name, but it mentioned Tickle, and it also mentioned Expect. So my first confrontation with Tickle was, in fact, via the book on Expect. And then, because it was also available as software, I got to experiment a bit with it. And in fact, over the years, I've littered the whole wiki with all kinds of experiments. So even there, you can find my traces. A lot of pet projects. You can find them on the wiki, and I've contributed to TickleLib and TKLib, and one of the large things is Plotchart. So that's a package I use a lot myself for creating NY plots, bar charts, that sort of things. Here's the book, my first book I bought about Tickle. Actually, I borrowed it to a colleague and never got it back. Okay, well, what I'm going to present is ongoing work. Parts of it are mature enough that it's also on the web. Other stuff, that's what I'm going to talk about especially, is still quite on the way. And right now, I don't have any concrete projects that will speed up in the development. So it's all done in short bursts. When I have time and energy to do that, then I'll go and do something about it. It actually is something that stretches out over some 20 years. So part of it is quite old already. And some of the stuff I'm going to talk about is just 1 or 2 years old, or even 1 or 2 weeks. Okay, well, one of the questions you can ask me is why combine them? Why combine Fortran and TCL, even if you are enthusiastic about both of them? Well, the first reason is that you can do that. And that's often a very important motivation. Because Tickle started out as a scripting language embedded into larger programs, it seems like a good idea to make it available within Fortran as well, if you are a Fortran programmer. On the other hand, you can also use Fortran to build extensions, and especially numerical libraries, because that's one of the strengths of Fortran. There's a lot of stuff out there, some quite old, and I thought it would be a nice idea to at least make them available within Tickle. And of course the last thing you can do is use Tickle for creating GUIs that steer your Fortran programs. Actually you can do that in many different ways. Just have the GUI in Tickle and then start the Fortran program with all the inputs. Or you can embed the Fortran routines into Tickle, etc., etc. All kinds of things are possible. And what I'm looking for is a way that it's practical, not only for me, but also for other people who want to do that. That's still very much work on the way. So then, I'm not quite on my own as a user of Fortran and Tickle. I've known of at least one other person, hence the dots. I have no idea how large the total community is on either side, hence the no kind of thing. But yeah, I guess the intersection is indeed fairly smooth. I guess, as we are here, you all know about Tickle TK. Now I want to tell you a bit about Fortran. One good article you can find about it, the concise history about Fortran is by Metcalf, the same Metcalf as over here, and the one I mentioned before. The Seven Ages of Fortran, actually it appeared in 2011, and since then we've seen another few standards, so it might even be the nine ages of Fortran now. Anyway, it all started way back in 1957. That's even before I was born. And the goal was to beat handwritten assembly code, because that was the way things were done back then. It took on it became widespread in the world, and in 1966 we got the first standard for Fortran itself, mm-hmm. and actually for the first standard for any programming language. Mm-hmm. Modernization came in 1978, Fortran 77, and that's probably the one you would be thinking of. That's based on the fixed format, no allocation, etc., etc. So in comparison to what you have nowadays, it's very basic, and you'll find that sort of code in all these old libraries. Then in 1991, Fortran 90 came out with a focus on things like array operations, modules, so packaging your stuff, derived types like you have in C, the types, the structures, lots of other stuff, but this is a bit the highlights. Later standards, there's a whole bunch of them, and especially this one, 2003, is the one which motivated me to rework my previous stuff. This is one of the latest book in the whole series on Fortran. It's quite a nice way to get acquainted with it. Not so much if you don't know anything about it, but to keep up with the standards, it's certainly a good book. To give you an example of how Fortran, as it is now, modern Fortran, is different from what it was back in the 1980s. This is a function, it's not very efficient, it's just showing off the few features. It's a quicksort implementation. So you get passed in an array of data. It declares a temporary array within this function of the same size. If there's more than one item in that array, then it will call itself again. But meanwhile, it gets a different different set of arguments. First of all, pack is a filter function which says that take all the elements of this array and only keep the data which have this condition. So then it is passed to quicksort again. The other half is the other part is the first element, because that's what we're comparing with. And the last is everything that's smaller than that. So in the end, you get a new array in sorted, which has a division of all these elements. So if you continue that until the very end, you have a sorted array. Of course, you have lots of arrays in between, so that's why it's not very efficient, neither in memory nor in runtime, but that was not mine. My goal, I wanted to show that you can do that in a very compact way. In the end, because sorted is the result variable, that sorted array is part back. Well, that's what you can do in modern Fortran.
What does the colon up to the 2 mean? Is that the second argument of the array? So you've got pack data 2 colon.
Oh,
yeah.
This one.
Yeah, what does that colon mean?
It's a sub section.
Slice.
A slice, yes.
Okay.
And the end range.
Ah,
yes.
Right.
I don't specify the last bit, because then it takes the rest of the whole array.
Right, okay, I see.
Okay, well. Like I said, I've been working on this connection for a long time, and the old way from before 2003 was that I had to use a lot of C to get the connection going. That's because all compilers were different, so GFortran and Intel Fortran and you name it all have different conventions. Mm-hmm. Especially regarding the names. On Windows, you have to be careful that sometimes you have to export a function for a DLL. That sort of stuff, that's all complicated things, and you can't do that on the Fortran side. Another thing is that Fortran names are case insensitive, my mistake. It's insensitive, so if you have a C name which has capitals and lowercase characters, you can't directly call it in Fortran or other vice versa. Then differences in the way things are passed on. Arguments in Fortran are passed by reference, even if they are scalar. In C, everything is passed by value, and if you pass a pointer by value, then you can change whatever's behind that. If you have a pointer argument, you don't know whether that's a scalar that can be changed, or whether it's an array. So all kinds of details you have to take care of. My solution in the end was that I have to write dedicated C wrappers to take care of all these differences. Also, on Windows, things work differently if you have routines that should be called from a DLL, if there are 32 bits, 64 bits, you name it, it was a mess. Luckily, I could solve it via all kinds of tricks. In the end, once I sorted it out, I could work my way around it without too much differences, different difficulties. By the way, this is via Appia, so a very old way, older than Fortran. Okay. It wasn't all that bad because I could use Tickle to generate the necessary interfaces. So what I do here is I define a shouldn't there be a light here?
Yeah, it should be a laser.
Normally it's a middle offset, left and right.
Ah, right, yeah. Okay. So a function called zero function, which has the ability to find zeros of a function you pass in. It's a small Fortran program routine which calls the function as it's passed as a name. So you actually call that function within the routine. It has a number of arguments. As you can see, it's all passed by reference. So this is the code to call it. I have a definition of the arguments, and then this part to make sure that error handling is done, and everything is then results in a C program, a C function that does take care of all the details that you normally have to deal with. So the burden of interfacing from Fortran to Tickle via C is taken care of by this kind of things. And the nice thing about it is that you can do this with the ancient sources of Fortran because the details are taken care of on the C side that's being generated. Okay, here's some more information about that. The keywords you saw, external, that's the function, double, that will be a double precision real, etc. That translates into the declarations, into increases of the reference count, etc. So that's all taken care of by a small part of C. You do need to have some knowledge of the Fortran side and how that is taken care of on the C side. But Fortran code as such is untouched, and I've wrapped a number of libraries for that in that way. That's already on the Chisel app. Okay, well, that was the old way, and the new way made life quite a bit easier. First of all, first of all, Fortran 2003 made it possible to standardize the interfacing to C. So a lot of the details that I had to work into my code is now kernel by the compiler itself. That's done by defining a C companion compiler. That's all part of the Fortran stuff. And the interfacing is standardized. And that makes it possible to do everything in Fortran. So you rule out a third language in the interfacing. Also, I don't have to take care of 32 bits versus 64 bits anymore, because well, at least in my my environment, we don't do 32 bits anymore. Another lucky thing is that Tekkle 9 implements the scripting library. It's embedded. So if you make a an extension in whatever language, and you start the shell, the Tekkle shell, it already contains all the scripting library things, whereas before you had to pass it along with the executable. So Tekkle 9 makes that part of life also quite a bit easier. I can use from Fortran procedure pointers to take care of the stubs library, the stubs table. It's not really easy, but at least I don't have to work with C anymore. And I hope that Ashok's SFE stuff makes it even more easy. Let's see. Yeah. Okay, well, nevertheless, there are a lot of details to take care of. How much time do I have?
It's now 3:30. Yeah, well, you started late.
Okay.
So another 5 minutes.
Just cut me off
late.
if I'm talking too much. I won't get into too much details here because it's just not very interesting. But those are things you have to think of when you make such a package. First of all, stubs. It's a very useful mechanism within Tekkle, but it also means that the functions that you want to call are not directly available. C macros, well, in Fortran I cannot read the C header files, so I can't extract that information directly. I have to copy that sort of things. A major thing to worry about is the sheer number of public functions we have in the Tekkle library. They will not all be interesting for this sort of work, but figuring out which are the important ones is still a matter of doing it and see what you end up with. And then, last but not least, we also have to deal with data types. Let me begin with stubs. This is a table of stubs. What I do is I define a what's called a derived type, so a structure, with a whole lot of function pointers. This is the way you do that in Fortran. So I have 631 of them. They're not all used, but that's the size of the Tekkle stubs table. And then I have this pointer. That's the one I actually use within my Fortran library. This is the one that I get in this way from the Tekkle DLL. And I connect them. And that's, I think I've got it on the, well, anyway, they are connected. And to get a particular function out of the stubs library, I define a abstract interface so I know what the function looks like. I have a function pointer on the Fortran side to keep that information, and here I actually connect them. So that's all happening in the initialization phase. So as a programmer, you don't have to worry about that. As long as you have all the functions connected, that's it. Well, the C macros, I can copy the literal values, of course. I have to worry about that. That still is the same as on the C side, but okay. But that's not likely to change every patch level. If there's a piece of code, like with the tickle set result, then I have to make a Fortran routine to do that. Not that much work, but you have to be aware of it. Okay, I have to deal with a lot of functions, and for tickle on the C side, you have functions that get an integer from an object, an integer of 64 bits from an object, a DOL function, and a boolean. So what I do in my part is I cluster all these things because that's what Fortran allows you to do. You define a generic interface, and based on the arguments, you get one of these. So that means that on the Fortran side, you have way less functions to deal with. Of course, on in the actual code, it still is a bunch of routines. But the user of that library only has to worry about FTCL get value, and then he or she can passing an integer or a double to get the right information. Well, data types. Fortran has a number of basic types that TCL doesn't support, like various types of integers, logicals, doubles, the floating point data, etc. So you have to make a practical choice. On the other hand, all the pointer types of tickle, so tickle object, tickle interp, etc. On the Fortran side, they would always type C PTR. That's very confusing. So I used the renaming facility to make sure that at least on that side they can be recognized what type of object to put in. And I try to be pragmatic, only do things that I think are necessary and not try to cover everything. That's basically because I'm lazy. Well, there's a lot of other things that you have to worry about, at least if you build a library like this. Starting up the interpreter was one thing. Jan Nijman helped me with that. On the Fortran side, you have to make sure that there's an initialization routine. I tried to hide all the gory details. On Windows, things I can't hide are DLL export, DLL import, that sort of things. So there's a lot of stuff that has nothing to do with this interfacing, but have to be taken care of, and I hope to hide quite a lot of that. Well, here's an example. I'm not going to show any live demos. It's way too simple, but it works. You load in a small tickle file, defines a command read value. You can get the result out of that. You sum it, etc. So it's basically the sort of things you want from a scripting package in a compiled language. That's the typical as a scripting language, and here to make an Fortran extension, the Bessel function, one of my favorites. So a lot of boilerplate code, which I think I can work around with these with a Rapport version. I used it before to generate the C code. I can use that sort of things also to Fortran code. That's the basic function, and of course you have to register it as a command in TCL. This is my slide, last slide. I intend to experiment with the SFV solution that Ashok created a few weeks ago. It looks quite convenient because you build one executable with everything in it, and not a few DLLs, etc. I'm still looking for a convenient way to create GUIs with Fortran, and the choices are: do I expose a lot of TCL code, or do I wrap everything into Fortran things? I'm not sure what the best way is. Of course, I need to document this stuff so that other people can use it, publish the code, and find time to extend the library to be more, even more useful. Okay, that's it. That's my presentation.
Any questions?
I want to present Fortran now. So, was it Fortran and COBOL, or the COBOL then Fortran?
It was first Fortran.
COBOL is slightly older, slightly newer.
Oh,
so. But it's in that time you had Fortran, Lisp, and COBOL all seem like they. More or less the same decade, at least.
Fortran was not a programming language, it was a formula translator. It was a way to more efficiently translate formulas
into
the same code.
You have shown at the beginning a bit the timing difference between Tickle 9 and Tickle 8.6.
Yeah.
So Tickle 9 was slightly faster, what I understood.
Oh, no, sorry. No,
more convenient.
More convenient.
Of course, with Tickle 8, you have the scripting library, still external files.
Yeah.
The Tickle library part.
Yeah.
With Tickle 9, everything is in the Tickle shell.
Yeah.
So if you have an extension, if you make a Fortran main program which embeds the library, and you don't have to carry around all these scripting files. And that was one of the hindrances of Tickle 8. Because if I made the program embedding Tickle, then I would have to pass on this program, but also all the other files, and make sure that they were findable.
Okay, I have a second question, which is a bit complicated.
No.
So, because I don't understand it on my own, but you are a numerical expert. We have a lot of numerical extensions like WebTCL and so, and they all profit of the new abstract type interface in Tickle 9, where you can directly go from a custom type to a double or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
So, do you see any application also for
yes,
your
yes.
one?
Yes, I would say so, yes.
Yeah.
It's a part I haven't looked into yet, but I think it's quite useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, because part of what happens in Rapport is converting Fortran arrays into Tickle lists of objects that contain doubles, etc.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
And if you can make it more efficient,
yeah.
then
Okay, I'm Margaret. Thank you. We have a pause. And we'll talk to you.